Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We continue to break down a lot of different stories throughout, and one of the interesting angles surrounding the NFL draft that we actually talked about on Wednesday of last week was whether or not there was going to be any Twitter blow up, and it happened. You just heard me talking about it with Zach Wilson, and I just want you to think about this question. Just think about this question. If people only had opinions on athletes for what they did in games, is that better or worse for athletes? Because I think this is a broad question, right? And it's something we kind of debated a long time. The Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods era basically believed, hey, I want people to judge me for my athletic performance essentially alone. And that's what people did. Most people don't really have a strong opinion about Michael Jordan's off-the-court related political endeavors, whatever they might be. And the same thing is true of Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods made his personal life more of a story with the way that situation blew up with Elon when there was a police call to their house and everything else. I think if he had just gotten divorced and that story hadn't begun the way it did, I don't think it would have spiraled out of control in the same way. And honestly, we've talked about a little bit on this program the way that Tiger Woods was covered being somewhat similar to Britney Spears. But my point is, Tiger has his own failings and challenges in his personal life, but most people at this point have an opinion about Tiger Woods that is rooted to his golf, and I would say that Tiger Woods is still by far the most popular golfer in America and probably the world. And so the reason why I raise that as an issue, Roger Federer is the best tennis player of all time. Have you ever heard of Roger Federer saying anything other than a tennis-related answer? I haven't, not to say that he hasn't done it. So the question that I would ask you, kind of building on that discussion we were just having about Zach Wilson to finish off the second hour, and if you're just waking up and your alarm's just going off on the West Coast, some of the blue check losers have been going through all of the headlines there and looking at the favorites of Zach Wilson over the past several years and who he follows and everything else. And they were like, oh my God, this guy supports Donald Trump. And it's like, well, how is that actually in any way relevant to whether or not he's going to be a good quarterback? I don't know of any, like if there's a dispositive factor, maybe Bill Belichick's figured it out. Hey, in order to be a successful quarterback, you have to be liberal or you have to be conservative. I doubt that there's an equation where you can plug that in and it matters in any way. My point here is this. Has anyone actually gained in athletics from something that has nothing to do with playing sports in terms of their overall value and branding? The only person I can even think of is Colin Kaepernick. You can make an argument that if Colin Kaepernick never becomes an activist, that nobody even knows his name at this point. Because I think Colin Kaepernick was trending towards not being at all involved in the NFL. You get benched for Blaine Gabbert. Maybe somebody else would have signed him, but his career trajectory was on a substantial decline anyway. So I don't think that it's likely that Colin Kaepernick would be known at all. And obviously he's made millions of dollars based on almost entirely off the field political related statements, even though he doesn't even talk very much. But is there any good athlete, right? I understand like how social media can be a difference maker for guys that may not be the stars of their team, that it can be a way for them to get noticed. My buddy Jeff Schwartz, who comes on this show and sometimes guest host, otherwise might be an anonymous offensive lineman, but I think he's used Twitter well to kind of build his brand. But that's most offensive linemen are anonymous. But in terms of superstars, like Peyton Manning's not on Twitter. Michael Jordan's not on Twitter. Tiger Woods is not very active on social media in general. Do you actually gain anything? I would argue that most guys who are going to be real stars lose more than they gain from social media. In other words, is LeBron James making more money right now because he's super active on social media than he would if he was just a great basketball player? That's not even talking about the time that he spends. I would actually argue that LeBron James would be far more popular than he is if he were not active on social media. And so this kind of ties in with the question of a lot of kids are getting ready to graduate from college or high school now this time of year. How much are you gaining from social media versus how much you are risking or losing? I think LeBron James would be infinitely more popular, and I think he would sell way more shoes if he had followed Michael Jordan's example and just allowed his excellence on the basketball court to be his hallmark. There's a great story here that doesn't get a lot of attention, but it's one of my favorite facts. Did you know, and this is wild, Michael Jordan by himself sells more sneakers every year than every current NBA player combined? Think about that. Think about how wild that is. By the way, you could also toss Kobe into this discussion. I don't really remember Kobe being super outspoken in any way other than allowing his excellence to be his hallmark on the basketball court. And I'm not an expert, but a lot of you are waking up in LA and listening to us this morning, and I'll ask Petros this, whether he believes it. But I think LeBron is way less popular in LA than Kobe, and probably still, certainly, LeBron is way less popular in LA than Michael Jordan is. And so there is a lot of noise in terms of people diving in and chasing whatever that story might be of a day-to-day basis. And it can make you believe, oh, this many people liked this tweet, this many people liked this picture. But for guys like LeBron and the Peyton Mannings of the world and the Tiger Woodses of the world, I think they're so famous that they only have opportunities to lose fans on social media as opposed to gain them. And I think this is true in a larger context with sports as well. Because I think what has happened is, in sharing so much of their lives, they're giving oftentimes a lot of reason for people not to like them. Does that make sense? And some people say, well, you're active on social media. That's true. But I'm in the opinion business. And when you're in the opinion business, as soon as you take a side, some people are going to disagree with it, right? Like, some people are going to be of the opinion, hey, this is a good choice. And other people are going to be like, oh, that's an awful opinion. And so it's going to break down either positive or negative. Like, what you think about my belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in Denver, some people out there are like Packer fans, maybe some of you are like, oh, you're full of it, Clay Travis. There's no way that's true. And then other of you out there are like, well, I don't know if the Broncos makes the most sense. In other words, every time you open your mouth and share an opinion, there are going to be some people who agree and some people who disagree. That's the job. But when you are an athlete, your goal is to appeal to everybody. And so I don't know that you're gaining anything. And I think the precedent that's being set of, oh, this athlete liked this tweet, oh, this athlete liked that tweet, and therefore trying to define people outside of the world of the sport itself is interesting. Also, I think, by the way, whatever opinions you might have, if you're a great athlete, they don't really matter in the context of you being a great athlete, because the locker room is the ultimate prove it to me place. If you show that you are an elite level performer, then I don't think there's any angle in the grand scheme of things that would really get confusing there, if that makes any sense, right? Like, and that was not a well articulated statement. If you are really great at something, then the greatness that you are in that particular category is what people are going to remember, not the periphery of that greatness. And I feel like in many ways, social media is making people like athletes less. The games make you like them more. Social media can make you like them less if you are a star. Now, again, I think it makes a lot of sense if you're on the periphery, if you're an offensive lineman, if you are like Juju Smith-Schuster is way more known now because of his social media profile, but he wouldn't have been a star otherwise. If you are excellent, your excellence is your hallmark. It speaks for itself. And I wonder how many of these guys are making choices that aren't actually helping themselves and also might even be hindering. In other words, simply summing this up, are there people who like LeBron because of social media that wouldn't have liked him otherwise? I find that hard to believe. Are there people who dislike LeBron James because of social media that might have liked him otherwise? I think the answer to that is yes. And so if I were giving advice to all the high school and college kids out there, you're sending out resumes right now. Think about what your social media profile says about you. And if you look good on paper already with your resume, I think all you could do with your Instagram or your Twitter accounts, if the recruiters look you up as they are certain to do, is actually hurt yourself. If your resume is already great, you don't need social media. If your resume isn't great or people might not know you, that can be what gives you a leg up and allows you to advance your career. But I think building on that Zach Wilson story, I think a lot more people are hurt by social media in general than they are helped by it. And by the way, I think we've also set the precedent, which doesn't make any sense at all, which is, hey, we're going to treat somebody's social media post as really serious and legitimate news, even though, as I said earlier, like, is it really surprising that a guy who played for BYU and grew up in Utah would be a supporter of a Republican presidential candidate? I mean, do you look at election returns at all? I don't know what the percentages would have been in a BYU student election for president in 2020, but I'm betting Donald Trump won 80% of those votes at least. I'm betting every Republican president wins at least 80% of the average BYU student vote every single 4 years. So would it really, like, are you really uncovering some massive story when you find out that Zach Wilson might have been a Trump supporter in 2020? And why does it matter in the grand scheme of things? We're going to talk with Petros Papadakis here coming up in a moment. I talked about this earlier in the show. I'd encourage you to download the podcast. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in Denver. I think the other big story from a quarterback perspective is that as soon as the Houston Texans drafted Davis Mills, I think they had already moved on from Deshaun Watson. I don't believe Deshaun Watson will ever be in a Texans uniform again, and I think that's starting to become apparent to a lot of Texans fans out there. Oh, by the way, you're over-under, as Todd Furman just told us, incredibly low, especially given the fact, 4.5, I think it is, given the fact that we're going to 17 games, and there's a lot of pain coming with Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills being the guy, and I wonder whether the Texans are going to end up deciding just to move on from Davis Mills in general. It's a intriguing question, I think, in general, going forward. All of that, much to be discussed. Petros Papadakis coming up with us next.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
It is time for Petros Papadakis at The Old P on Twitter, 570 AM LA Sports, with the Petros and Money Show. We were just talking about the open of hour three, one of the biggest stories coming out of the NFL draft, Aaron Rodgers. Do you have a strong opinion one way or the other on the Aaron Rodgers situation at all? Do you find yourself thinking, hey, I understand where Aaron Rodgers is coming from. This is a ridiculous kind of situation that the Packers have put him in with drafting Jordan Love? Or do you find yourself like, Aaron Rodgers, a lot of drama. I think he should just shut up and complete his contract.
Well, I'm much more leaning toward the latter on Aaron Rodgers. And one of my favorite people that I ever played with was Carson Palmer. And he was just like, he was built to be a quarterback and a leader. And he had a lot of ups and downs when I played with him at USC. Not personally, just on the field. He threw a lot of picks and kind of wasn't living up to all the hype to a certain degree until Norm Chow got a hold of him, and he won a Heisman Trophy in 2002 and then was the number one pick and all that. But I always just admired him for what a great teammate he was, how he took criticism, what a tough guy he was, taking hits. He was always the same in the huddle. And I've always kind of washed Carson's balls to a certain degree whenever anybody asked about him, because he was a big recruit and he played his ass off and he competed his ass off and he worked his ass off and he cared. But that stuff he pulled in Cincinnati wasn't cool. And I didn't know him. I wasn't very close with him at that time, really close with him at all after college. And I know that Cincinnati is supposed to be a dysfunctional pro football team, and I'm not just dismissing that. But you said the word right there. You just said it, contract. And you sign a contract, you know what the people are like that you signed with. You've been there a long time. You know what the place is like. You signed the contract, and you took their money. And then he had a giant kind of temper tantrum, I guess, would be kind of a mean way to say it. But that's what Aaron Rodgers did, too. Contact all the people in the media.
Yep.
Tell them how unhappy you are. Spray it across social media. Aaron was even worse because he did it on the draft vindictively.
Yep.
To take over the draft and a bunch of young people having the day of their life. And what a vindictive, kind of selfish and self-centered thing to do to a bunch of people that have nothing to do with you or Green Bay or who they drafted last year. Like, who cares? And it's a terrible look. There's no doubt about it. Like, at least Carson didn't try to take over the draft. He just tried to get the hell out of Cincinnati. And I think they had more success when he left and went to the Raiders and didn't have a lot of success there and then had a bit of a renaissance in Arizona. And, I mean, far be it for me to criticize, but I'm just using the example because I'm paid to criticize that it just doesn't work like that in football. It's too fleeting of a thing. You know, the same as the Russell Wilson situation. Like, I don't care what Russell Wilson says or does. He seems like the biggest dildo on earth. Like, he's a dork. He's a great football player. But everything he does, he seems like a dork. He uses a different accent every time he talks. Like, he's a weird dude. But it doesn't matter. None of it matters. Until he said, he went on the show that follows you in most markets, Dan Patrick's show, and he said, well, these other guys on the team, you know, my legacy and this and that. And look, football's a live bullets game that ruins your body, and you see a lot of really gnarly, nasty things, and in a perfect world, it probably wouldn't exist. I promise you not one of those guys out there playing this game to make a living in a very dangerous situation and being paid well for it, they're not worried about your legacy. And that kind of self-absorption that we see in the NBA and sort of just take for granted now in the NBA, where we don't even blink our eyes anymore at some of this massive, I don't know what you'd call it, vanity from a lot of these players. Well, it just doesn't fly in football in the same way because there's too many guys out there and they're too much at risk and your success is so fleeting. So it's a long answer, but there's an old example where Carson, I thought, really screwed up and kind of screwed up his legacy, so to speak, in Cincinnati. There's a situation with Aaron Rodgers, and then there's earlier in the year with Russell Wilson talking about his legacy on sports radio before he's done playing. What an idiot.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis. It is kind of fascinating, right, to think about how exactly – and he went to the Kentucky Derby. And again, I think the big part of the story here that we've talked about as well, he made the choice to go public with this story on the day of the NFL draft. And people can say, well, he didn't talk – like his agents, they don't make this choice. This has been playing out for weeks now. They decided to get maximum attention here.
It doesn't matter. You can be a Hollywood guy and be married to a famous person and talk to everybody in the media whenever you want or get whatever kind of attention you want and be Tom Brady and be a great teammate, right? Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't seem that way to me. You know, he seems like a guy who's never happy with anything. And it's football. It's a terrible, imperfect thing. It's like a rock fight. Like, how do you screw up a rock fight? I mean, I know that every football player you ever talk to, Clay, you can get Joe Montana on and give him true serum, and he's going to tell you he got effed along the way at every place he's ever been. That's all of us, no matter what level you finished on. If you played a higher level of football, you know, 90% of the time, you feel like you got screwed or effed in one way or another. To go public with it and have your agent call Schefter and Glazer during the draft, that's going to be hard to live down. I mean, it was a really ugly look, and I hope people don't forget it when he has another Hollywood girlfriend or when he and this one break up.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis. All right, the other big news, I would say, is the Lakers. LeBron James has come back. They have lost their first two games. He didn't play last night. Anthony Davis hasn't looked great. How much discussion about the Lakers is there in L.A., and do you believe that this talk about the play-in series and everything else, are the Lakers in trouble as a title contender in your mind?
Well, I mean, I'm no basketball analyst, but our basketball analysts have said, you know, because we, you know, you basically asked the same question about the Lakers to everybody for the last few weeks, if not months, which is, you know, when are these guys coming back? Will they be ready for the playoffs? And everybody says the same thing. They say, well, yeah, you know, as long as they get back in time so they don't have to go to that play-in.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, well, now.
Now they're in the play-in, potentially.
Yeah, they're staring the play-in in the face, and LeBron is starting to bitch about it. And
which is funny because, by the way, to LeBron's credit, the Dallas Mavericks did the same things. Everybody likes the idea of a play-in when they think they don't have to play in it, and as soon as they do, they're like, wait, whoever came up with this idea? You know, like,
yeah, this is horrible.
Right.
So that's that. I expect that to make a little bit of news. But I mean, I wouldn't be telling you the truth if I didn't tell you that interest has waned in the NBA considerably, even in this town where the Lakers are a gigantic brand. Which is not to say there's still people that are in love with the Lakers, but first of all, like, we had to read the rules to go to a game at Staples Center on air.
Yeah,
because we do Clipper stuff, I guess, and. I mean, the thought that anybody would want to go through that, let alone pay to go through that.
Right.
And to go to like a designating roped off eating area where you stand like a sheep and eat as quickly as you can so you can get back. I mean, it's just. It's not
a fun environment.
It's not worth it. You know,
yeah.
It's just, it doesn't seem worth it. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, things could change and the playoffs could change and LeBron could, I don't know. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest. And I do believe that there are a lot of people pretty turned off by it at this point. The other thing going on in town is that the Dodgers are struggling.
Yeah.
And had been struggling much more than people thought. And yes, it's April, but it's pretty clear that they're not the same baseball team that won that shortened season. So you got both these teams that won last year under very odd circumstances. I mean, the Dodgers played every World Series game and most of the playoffs in Texas. and you have them trying to repeat as favorites, and right now neither of them are living up to expectations, kind of treading water and sinking.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting in that respect. And the other, this is a big question for you, and I know you're not a huge fan of social media in general, but I was just talking about this to start off the show. If social media didn't exist, right, if we were like, let's say social media isn't going to be invented in the way that it exists now until 2028, right, and LeBron has already finished his career and he plays for most of his career in the same sort of rough environment that Jordan did, is LeBron more or less popular because of social media in your mind? And in a bigger picture, the question that I was asking to start off the third hour of the program is, how many stars out there? I don't mean like role players. I don't mean like side actors. You know, like, for instance, us in media, I think social media can in many ways help us. Certainly it's helped me, but it also can come with its downsides. But in general, how would you say that social media has impacted LeBron James's popularity? He has 50 million Twitter followers, however many that he has on Instagram as well. Do people like him more or less than if he didn't have social media at all?
It really is, since you've been explaining it. I thought the answer was really easy when you first started asking it, but I don't think it's a, I think it's a really complex answer. And I think it really can be applied to all of us to a certain degree, right? Social media exposes you to a lot more people than you would normally be exposes some form of you,
yes.
Right? Some your opinion, what you want to write down on Twitter, whatever pictures you want to put up, of some arm of your being. Social media exposes you to a lot more people than you would normally be exposed to. And so it's not only an opportunity for a lot more people to like you and a lot more people to revere you, but it's also an opportunity for a lot more people to hate you. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, and it's such a polarizing place that it, we, you know, social media, like you said, that I use it. And obviously I remember you using it when I first met you, you know, 2012, eight, nine years ago.
Yeah.
I met you and you were attached to Twitter, and I understood it to a certain degree, and I understood it as important and growing. But also it's a place for kind of like, it's a lighter fare type of place for me, because it's a place that forces you to one side or the other.
Yeah.
You know, you're not allowed to go on to social media and say, hey, LeBron's a great basketball player, but, you know, some of this stuff is not cool. You know, like, no one's going to be happy with you. You know, LeBron's people
are. Like, you, if you try to come up with
the
least hot take comment, whatever it might be, right? Like, the most lukewarm comment that you could have. Not a pro or con. It's the same thing, by the way, with, for instance, like reviews on the internet. Everything is either a one star or a five star, right? Especially in our business. People are either like, man, I love that guy, or they're like, man, I hate that guy. Almost never, but almost no one would be like, yeah, I'd give him a 2.5 to 3.5. He's pretty much just totally average. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other.
Yeah.
Social media, what works is strong opinions one way or the other.
And well, you also have to think about it like this. Think about it in the context of what we do, the lowest rung of the world of entertainment, sports talk radio, just this, what we're doing right now. When we were younger, when there was no social media, frankly, when I started in the business, it just started to turn, and thank God, we weren't people allowed to have strong opinions or be entertaining or have a lot of fun, because that wasn't our role. Our role was to be informational. The role was to tell people if LeBron was going to play tonight, because that information wasn't available to everybody on everybody's phone.
Yeah.
Now on the radio, you don't know anything that everybody else doesn't know in the moment. It's public.
That's right.
You don't.
It's very rare that there's even breaking news on this show, and we have to break out the breaking news sounder. Like, almost, I've been doing this show 5 years. I think we've legitimately had breaking news that changes what we would talk about like 4 or 5 times in 5 years.
Well,
like basically once, and your time slot's a little bit different, but it almost never happens here.
It's not different in a lot of ways, Clay, because so many people podcast shows.
Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't hear the show live, but it doesn't stop me from listening to it in beautiful, clear sound on iHeartRadio.
Yeah,
so it doesn't really matter if you had, you know, what time
that's
you told
point.
The listeners
that point.
Walker Buehler wasn't going to play. Because, I mean, an overwhelming amount of the listeners are listening at their convenience, sometimes 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Be entertaining and speak your most honest freaking show, you know, and the most fun you can have is the best way to do it, you know, now, because it's morphed. But with LeBron James or people like that, like, the more you put yourself out there publicly and touch these hot topics as an athlete or somebody, you know, an actor or somebody like that, you're going to expose yourself to a whole country of people, and maybe half of those people are going to like you, where none of them would have known you. But now half of them like you and half of them hate you. You know,
that's my kind of point. Like, I understand it for purposes of guys who are on the periphery. Like, if you're an offensive lineman, right, on a football team, and you're witty and you're funny and you're good at social media, I can understand the benefit of being active, because people might not have known you otherwise. You were on that periphery. But, you know, Peyton Manning and Michael Jordan are pretty big names. They've never needed social media in order to be big names. They still don't have it. And I wonder on some level for LeBron whether the guys of that ilk, that magnitude, would be more popular without it. Now, I do think Tom Brady in the last couple of years has started using social media pretty well and made himself a little bit more likable than he might otherwise be, because he seems so inaccessible. And when he's drunk and he puts out like a funny tweet afterwards, it makes him seem more likable. But I am just kind of fascinated by how quickly the universe in which we live in the world of sports has changed in general.
It is wild. because you'd never think, like, wow, I want to go watch LeBron James. And then, wait, maybe I don't, because, you know, he kind of bugged me with what he said a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, that's going through more people's minds than, you know, you'd say, well, I don't like Michael Jordan because he beat my Suns, you know, or he beat my Sonics or Trailblazers or Lakers or whatever. It's a lot different. And I think it's a problem for the NBA, obviously. And it's something that they need to address, but everybody has to, like, kind of come to terms with it in their league. And it's the long cut in football. I've made this point for a long time. Figure it out in your collective bargaining agreement. Figure out what is a proper form of protest and how you want to handle this new political climate that we're in that will satisfy the owners, the sponsors, all your social justice people, and then your normal sort of fans. And I don't know if you can do that. You know, that's going to be a tall order, but they're going to have to figure it out, because right now we're kind of in a no man's land. And I think a lot of different platforms are suffering because of it. We've alienated each other so much that basically a lot of people can't even stand to look at each other.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Quickly, who's more popular in LA right now, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant?
Oh, Kobe.
Yeah,
Kobe Bryant.
Close,
you know, Kobe,
right?
Felt like he was, you know, to people here in LA, Kobe, you know, for all his warts and zits, and, you know, many of them have just been forgotten and forgiven because of the horrible, tragic way that he and his daughter and many others died. And that's kind of been erased from our memory, especially locally. Kobe, for whatever he was, he felt like he was the city's. So LeBron James could be here for another 10 years and that wouldn't change.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. My thanks to Petros Papadakis. Always great. Encourage you to go download the podcast so you don't miss any of the show so far. If you're just waking up with us, Paul Kaharsky was great in the first hour, breaking down the NFL draft and more. My buddy Todd Furman from Fox Bet Live in the second hour. And now Petros Papadakis just finished off with us. Whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, go download the podcast and make sure you don't miss a minute. Dub, you had a ridiculous story that we just teased about a guy injuring himself playing video games, which feels like the perfect ending to the show so far. I haven't seen all the details there, but video game injuries never get old.
And it always seems that these odd injuries happen in baseball.
Yeah.
You never really hear
funny
about, you
well,
know, a linebacker,
yeah,
you know, it's like, what was the Aaron Boone back in the day? You know, they always,
I think Ken Griffey Jr. like injured himself with a Game Boy back in the day. Like people who remember like the old school Game Boy that you could hold in your hand, like in the grand scheme of things, that is, that's where we are, right? Like that we've moved a lot, but it does seem like it's baseball players getting injured very often.
Yeah, so this guy on the A's, he breaks his finger playing video games. He's currently on the 10-day IL, and they're going to revisit him.
Do we know what the game was?
I'm trying to find out exactly what the game was.
But don't you have to lie?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it is a lie. Maybe it was even worse. Maybe he broke his finger doing something even
dumber.
Exactly.
But I mean, my perspective on this is, if you injure yourself in a really stupid way and you are an athlete, I think you could just make something up, right? It seems like you would have to be playing video games insanely aggressively to break a finger and put yourself on the disabled list. So if you, I don't know, you could say you slipped and fell, right? And tried to catch yourself. I mean, that's easy, easy way. I mean, you're probably, everybody out there, I bet at some point you've been in the shower and like you've gotten soap under your foot and like you've took a little bit of a step and maybe you slip a little bit and you think, God, that would be awful if I fell and like seriously injured myself in the shower. You know, or you are walking down the stairs and there's like a toy, a Lego maybe if you've got kids, and you end up slipping on it and you think, oh my God, I almost fell all the way down the stairs. Maybe. certainly in the wake of that huge ice storm and snowstorm that we had that hit in late February and March all over the country. I'm sure a lot of people like fell going down their front steps and things like that. In other words, I guess it's honest if he's being honest, but I don't know that I would want to admit that I was going on the, I guess they call it the IL, right? Because disabled is now a, it's an offensive word. Remember, they used to have the disabled list, and they're like, now they're calling it the injured list, I think. Because it's, I don't know, they decided that that language is not appropriate because everybody's obsessed with all sorts of stupid things in this country now. But I don't know that I would admit to that kind of injury.
Yeah, so apparently he was playing a video game. He got mad and angry and slammed his controller. And in the process of slamming his desk, I assume, or whatever it was, he broke his pinky.
I mean, I think I would lie. Like, you could say that you slammed the door, your car door on yourself, right? Like, you could, I just think it's a weird thing to admit to. I'm sure that in the locker room, he is going to hear a great deal of people making fun of him over time in general, right?
No, there's no doubt. I mean, could you imagine if one of the guys on the crew here for OutKick broke his pinky playing video games? I mean, they would never
hear the end of it. We would never stop talking about it.
100%.
Especially, how old is this guy? Do we know?
I mean, he looks pretty young.
I mean, I'm sure he's young if he's all in on video games, but I still want to know what the game was that he was playing and what had occurred that made him so angry. We need to get that guy on the radio show.
He's 23 years old, originally from Lima, Peru. In the Oakland A's, he's a pitcher, so that maybe amplifies the injury a little bit more.
And also, maybe he didn't realize how much he was going to get made fun of from saying that he hurt himself this way. If he's from Lima, Peru, like, maybe he doesn't realize that he's just going to get absolutely ridiculed. Maybe, I don't know. It seems to me to be an utterly ridiculous way to get injured, and I think I would make something else up. I mean, he could say that he got hurt somehow during the course of warmups, right? Like, show up with a hurt pinky, like, you're out there fielding a ball, and, like, you say, like, you got, you know, you somehow you bent your finger the wrong way, and then you go and admit to it. Like, I feel like I would probably lie. I'm going to be honest with you. There's no way that I'm admitting this injury.
But it was good news for the guy who got called up from the minors to take his spot. Getting called up for a guy that broke his pinky playing video games.
Maybe he never goes back. That's what happened Lou Gehrig coming in and never replacing that starting job forever at first base for the Yankees. All right, there you go. Don't lose your job or go on the disabled list or the injured list or whatever you want to call it because you're so angry about a video game, especially if you're an adult. Like, I would be upset at one of my kids if they did this, much less when you're actually 23 years old, as the situation is. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks to all the guests, Paul Kaharsky, Todd Furman, Petros Papadakis. Lots of good stuff out there. Encourage you all to go check it out. Make sure you download the podcast, whether it's Spotify, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Stitcher, whether it is Google Play. So many different ways to listen. Thanks to all our 300-plus AM-FM affiliates in all 50 states. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.